Today I felt like the Holy Spirit dropped something in my heart for us to all look at in the Word, and that it may even, I don't know. I just know the Holy Spirit dropped this in my heart for us. And so if you do have a Bible and you are able to follow and search and look at these scriptures, maybe the Lord will speak to your heart and maybe even have something to share after we read through them together. And we might just look to the Lord and let the Holy Spirit minister the word to us today. So I'm going to pray, and if you want to grab your Bibles, we'll begin. So Father, we are here in a non-religious way. We're here just as yours. We're being so open. Our desire is truly to open our hearts to you, Lord. And not first to this or that situation, but to you, Jesus, and Holy Spirit and Father. And we ask, Lord, that the reason you sent the word and inspired people by the Holy Spirit to write it down was so it could reach our hearts today. And it could reach them in a way for Jesus. We believe that, Lord. Be it unto us according to your heart in sending the word. And our hearts, we're cultivating good ground ready to receive the things you need to say, Lord, the things that you need to do and be in us. So we look to you and you alone, Lord, and we come under the authority of your word. We want to hear your voice, and so we're yours. We thank you for this time. Use it for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's go to Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 18. And I feel like the theme would be called offense. The word offense. Offense. And looking at that word in the scriptures and some of the things that Jesus had to say about offense. So in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 7, we'll start to read. Verse 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. Okay, let's look at that first part and then we're going to go down to verse 15. But before we do, I just felt the Lord gather my attention to some of the words. You'll notice the word offense occurs five times in those verses. And then the word despise is once in verse 10. So it's dealing with offenses. And he's saying, you know, offenses are going to come. They're always going to be in the world, but woe unto the person by whom the offense comes. And the impression I got while I was reading these verses was that, is it worth it? Is it worth it to hold on to the offense in my heart and let that keep me from everlasting life, to separate me from the Lord? You know, in these verses it's hellfire and everlasting fire, and as contrasted with enter into life. It is better for thee to enter into life without your hand or your foot or your eye than to be cast into everlasting fire. And in my heart, I just heard, is it worth losing that life connection with Jesus, his life filling me, to hold on to that offense with my brother and let that fire of being offended just start burning me on the inside? You know, I believe there are scriptures that we've been sharing recently in regard to the pro-self spirit, where there's just a fire that burns within those. I think it referred to Lucifer, who just doesn't let that spirit be dealt with. It just burns somebody up from the inside. And that is a form of, like, fire. Is it worth it to be separated from Jesus because I'm offended with my brother? And this is Jesus speaking directly in this gospel. You know, it's in red letters in my Bible. That's Jesus, his words. It's all his words, but specifically he's speaking here. And he's so cool, because he says, you know, if your hand offends you, it is so not worth it. If your hand is having an issue with somebody, to hold on like a hand would hold on to something, it is better if that hand won't let go. It won't let go of that offense with your brother, your sister, somebody. Jesus Christ said, I am telling you as the Lord of all, I think it is better for that hand to be cut off if it won't let go of that offense than to stay on your body and you live with that hand that will not let go of somebody who's hurt you and that offense you feel towards them. It is better that you cut that off and be with me than you stay whole with that hand that's holding on to all of their faults and be separated from me. Cut it off. Just cut it off. And then he says, if there's a foot that just is offended, it can't walk with his brother in a spirit of love and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't walk together day by day, side by side, as one heart and one spirit in the Lord Jesus. But it holds on to unforgiveness and walks in a spirit of offense. Then cut that foot off. If it won't walk in love, if it won't walk in the spirit of Jesus with other people, but carries itself in a spirit of offense, if you will, runs away, won't walk with, separates itself from, won't walk together in love with the body because it's offended with them. Jesus Christ said, cut that foot off. It is better for you to enter into life, enter into oneness with my life, with just one foot that will walk in love, than 2 feet and one of them walks in offense. It's not worth it. And the question that I felt the Holy Spirit kept asking me is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is what they did to you, or what hurt they caused to me, or what thing that's wrong in them that upsets me and offends me, is it worth it to allow that offense to cut me off from Jesus? Is it that important? Is it that important to me? Jesus said, just cut it off. Just cut it off. It sounds radical, but Jesus is seeing what it's doing to that person. It's cutting them off from Jesus. It's blocking his life. And it's starting a fire, a hellfire in their heart. And it's eating them up on the inside, eating up what should be a place where Jesus lives, eating it up with anger and offense and unforgiveness. He said, don't, oh my, it's not worth it. And then in verse 10, he says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father. And you know, how easy can it be to look down on or despise somebody who is young in the Lord, and they're immature, and Christ isn't formed in them, and they do things that are hurtful and insensitive and not in the spirit of Jesus. And but the Lord, he says, don't despise them. You know, I came to seek and save those who were lost, and these are my sheep, and I love each one and die for each one, and their blood bought. Don't let their lack cause a despising spirit to come into your heart. It's not worth it. You know, almost like, enter into my love. You know. And then we go down to verse 15. We're still in chapter 18 in Matthew. But Jesus continues. He says, moreover, if your brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, you have gained your brother. And maybe Jesus was saying, hey, work it out. And I'm sure Jesus would have said, in a spirit of lowliness, in a spirit of humility, and in a spirit of love. But work it out. If he will not hear thee, take with thee one or two more, and in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear thee, tell it to the church. If he neglect to hear the church, let it be unto thee as an heathen man and a tax collector. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, I do not know what Jesus was trying to say in those verses. I don't claim to know anything, but the Lord, the Holy Spirit, knows, and it's our place to ask him. Because we all have that relationship face to face, heart to heart with Jesus, with his spirit. But I wonder in my heart if Jesus wasn't speaking to people who just had to work it out and had to make it right. And at the end of that, of him saying, well, then if you can't work it out, then just kind of treat him like the enemy. But notice in verse 18, Jesus says, whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven, but whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And I wonder if he's saying, you know, if you're not going to loose them in your heart, then they are bound. And if you loose them, they will be loosed. And there's just something to meditate on there. And we're going to look at this binding and loosing in the Gospel of Mark to continue to think about what maybe is going on here. Because also, again in verse 19, it says, again I say unto you, if two of you agree on anything on earth, it shall be done. If two or more come in my name, I'm there. Now he's coming right out of this offense and this situation of trespasses, and he's saying, hey, when you come together in love, I'm there. If you come together with one heart and one mind and you agree on something, it is done. So he's saying, hey, there is a lot of power in love. You can bind that brother, and you can be offended with that sister, and you can despise that little one, and you can take him to court and find him guilty, and then just set him aside as a tax collector and just hold your nose at them from a distance. But if you came together in love, and you came together in the spirit of the Lamb, and you came together with his nature and his heart, you could touch anything, and your Father in heaven hears that spirit. And you come together in that heart of Christ crucified in that nature. I am there in the midst. Once again, is that issue worth losing the Lord between you and your brother or sister? Is that issue worth losing the agreement of one heart and one mind you could have in ushering in the kingdom as it is in heaven into the earth? Because you deem them unworthy. And Jesus continues with a parable, and we all know this parable, so we won't take the time to go over it, but you can read it. It's the next verses. It's the rest of the verses in chapter 18, and he talks about a man who was owed a lot, and a servant and his Lord forgave him his debt with great mercy and compassion. And then when the servant was put in a situation where he was to have mercy and compassion on somebody, he wouldn't. If he would not pity them, he would not. And, you know, the Lord says, should not you have compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you. So likewise shall my heavenly Father, this is the last verse, do also to you, if you from your heart forgive not every one his brother his trespasses. So at the end of the conversation here, Jesus is saying, I have forgiven everybody all of their debts on the cross. And likewise, we should forgive one another. And so, love one another as I have loved you. Once again, I felt like the theme was offense. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? And then the final verses along with these verses that I felt led to was in Mark chapter 11. And it's starting with verse 25. Mark chapter 11, starting with verse 25. And it says, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against any, that your heavenly Father also may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Yeah. Isn't there something about... Oh, yeah, no, forgive me. I'm sorry, I didn't share that the way the Holy Spirit... When I looked at these, the Holy Spirit shared verse 23 first. I am sorry, I did not share that properly. Beginning in verse 23 in Mark 11... For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So he's saying, if you have the faith to move a mountain, and you believe in your heart, when you pray, you will receive it. But he adds this, and I have never heard this shared alongside that scripture. It's kind of like we just stop there and believe for our mountains to be moved. But Jesus kept talking. In verse 25, he said, and when you stand there praying for your mountains to be moved, that you have big mountains, big issues, big need of Jesus, whole huge governments that stand up and they're high and they need to be brought low. Maybe it's a big old pro-self spirit that needs to be brought down into the nature of the Lamb. And you're believing God to take that mountain down and you have faith for that. And you are standing before the Lord in prayer for that pro-self spirit to go down in you. The Lord says, well, when you stand praying for your mountains, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive and you're waiting for your big mountain to come down, your Father who is in heaven will not forgive your trespasses. So I just felt like the Lord was saying, you know, part of that faith we have for this pro-self spirit to go, part of the prayers and the heart cries that we have before the Lord, and we've all prayed them, and I am praying them for myself. I just felt the Spirit say, as you stand and pray, ask yourself, is there an offense I'm holding against my brother? There's another scripture that says, if you come to the altar to pray and you remember a brother that you have trespassed, get up. Ask their forgiveness, deal with that trespass, and then come back and pray. I don't know where that verse is, but I know that it's in the gospel somewhere. It's a very similar spirit. And it's just, I think, part of the equation is that there's an openness to the Lord in things where we are offended with our brother or sister. And maybe more than that, we're holding it against them. And we've bound them with our unforgiveness. We're wanting a big mountain to come down in ourselves, but we're not willing to forgive them for their big mountain of offense against us while we stand in faith that God will be merciful to ours. And the Lord is saying, let's think about this. You're asking me to take a big mountain down when you are holding on to, walking separate from, looking at with your eyes of judgment. That's the eye, the foot, the hand that we saw in Matthew. You won't let go. You've bound them. You will not have mercy, though I've had mercy on you. And yet you stand before me to bring your mountain down while you're treating your brother or sister that way. And you can see what Jesus said about his father. My father doesn't work like that. Deal with your offense. Forgive your brother. Loose them. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And that which you seek from the Lord, give freely to one another. I felt that just pop in my heart so strong for us today. And I don't want to speak beyond it, but I do believe it. In my heart, I believe it came from the Lord. And it may have come just to me. And that's just fine with me because I know that I need it. But let's pray. And I think the scriptures themselves speak seriously enough to us that we cry out for this pro-self spirit to really work. But I wonder if it can, if we won't release one another. I wonder how low a mountain can be taken down if we're not willing to release the mountain of offense we hold in our heart against one another. Lord, we ask you to continue to deal with us. Lord, it's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me in the need of the Lamb. And Lord, if I can stand in faith for myself, and if I can hold on to your mercy and forgiveness for all I've done against you with this spirit that I've allowed in me, and if I can look at the Lamb and believe in oneness and yet turn those same eyes and despise my brother because they've offended me and choose to not walk with them in love because they've offended me, then Lord, I need to repent before you. Lord, I need to let your love come in these areas. So Father, I just ask that you deal with my heart first. Father, I pray today would not be some kind of a sharing or a teaching, but if there was something from you for us, for me, for all of us today, that your arrows would reach our heart, your word lays it out, your scriptures, Jesus, almost everything I read was in red letters today, words you spoke to your disciples. Oh, Father, I just ask that you would have mercy upon us even as we have mercy upon one another. That you would forgive us even as we forgive one another. That you would loose us even as we loose one another. That, Father, you would be in our midst by the manner in which we have honored your word towards each other, honored your cross, and honored your spirit in us. So I just pray these things in Jesus' name.
Lord, I'm not offended at your word of your heart today in the blog. We are not offended at your word that you shared with us today. But myself and maybe many others have a mountain of pro-self and of offense that's hidden deep inside of us that we're not aware of. It is your heart for us to have the spirit of the Lamb, your Lamb nature, the same way you are towards us, towards others. But I admit my need and confess my faults before you, my brothers and sisters, before you, Lord, of the pro-self spirit that can hold offense. And it's probably a very huge mountain. Lord, so I just come to you, your Holy Spirit, that wants to reveal this nature, but it's blocked from even coming inside of us in the beautiful way that you desire because of the pro-self spirit. And so I admit my need for the Holy Spirit to point out the offenses and the areas where the pro-self is, and believe and hold that this is your heart and your work of the cross, to be able to go deep in me and deep in others, Lord. I turn my heart to you and totally agree with your heart word today. Have your way in me and others, Lord. We seek to be with you and one with you in all that you're doing and saying right now. We love you. In your name, amen.
Lord, we see you, we hear you putting your finger on a very specific thing right now, and you are moving the ground that is before us, even as a builder would come, and the first thing they do before they start building a house or a store is they get those bulldozers out and they start clearing the ground. And my father-in-law has much experience with that, of clearing ground, and it's just such a beautiful picture in my heart of Ken and with skid loaders and things. And so, Lord, right now we take that picture and we ask your Holy Spirit to begin the bulldozing of what needs to happen, of breaking up the fallow ground, breaking the ground up, preparing it for the things that you are wanting to build into us, Lord, not just today, but in the days, weeks, months, and years to come, Lord, for your eternal plan, that there is a certain path that you have set this body and this Jesus tribe on. And Lord, we acknowledge it, and we acknowledge that we want to be on this path together with you. And so we just ask that the Holy Spirit would get on that bulldozer, would get on that skid loader, and just come through and begin clearing the ground. And so, Lord, today, the way that you're speaking in regards to ground clearing has to do with offense, with our brother or sister or somebody we know. Lord, maybe there's things we didn't even know that were working in us, Lord. But we just ask you right now to bring it up. And I feel that there are some that have already had some pricks in their heart as they were listening. And so, Lord, I just pray right now for those individuals, Lord, that it would be more than a prick of the heart, but, Lord, that they would take that prick, and they would just bring it before you right now in the name of Jesus, to be able to acknowledge their sin, to acknowledge the fact that they've been holding on to this thing that is it's hidden away. It's like being buried in the back of the tent, Lord. And Lord, that's an abomination to you. And even though it's been buried away, and maybe they think it hasn't affected anyone else, Lord, we know that we are a body. And when there's things that are hidden away in the heart of offense or of bitterness or things just that have been left unhandled, Lord, we just recognize that, and we don't want to leave them that way any longer. We don't want to leave them buried. We don't want to leave them out of sight, because you see all things, Lord, and you are bringing this up for such a time as this. So, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, for those that this is specifically applying to, I pray for them, Lord. I pray that your Spirit would come in, not with a wave of condemnation, because that's not who you are, but instead with a sweet breeze and a blow that shows that this thing is not of you and that it's time to deal with it. So, Holy Spirit, move and come. And as you expose these things, may these individuals just begin to offer them up to you. May they begin to allow your Spirit to do what your Spirit has not been allowed to do before. Some for years, I just get a sense that some of these have been buried for years and not been allowed, maybe because of hurts that's been untouched. But Lord, we just pray right now that you would begin moving in those individuals that have held on to hurts and offenses and wrongs. And maybe that person is right. They truly were wrong. But Lord, it is not your Spirit. It's not your way. And they are not in agreement with it anymore. And so, Lord, the years of hurt, the years of holding on, the years, Lord Jesus, where the cankerworm has eaten away and caused division between them and between you, Lord, right now, we just pray that they would set it down. If that's you right now, you just offer it up. You bring it out. Bring it to the light. We can't hear you, but you, the Lord hears your heart. Just bring it out before the Lord. Just let him know that you're sorry and that you see this thing. Say that person's name or say the situation. Just pray it before the Lord right now and just ask him to forgive you for the offense and the things, the spirit that you have preceded, and the way that you have allowed this thing to stay in there, and you've allowed the hurt and your rightness to remain. And Lord, hear them right now. Hear them right now as they bring these things to you and honor their hearts, Lord Jesus. And we just pray as they offer it to you and as they let it go and they release it to you, I just pray that you would move by your Spirit to just wrap them up with your love, Lord, and that it truly would be released to you, that this would truly be a move of God and something that frees them up, Lord, as even as Lazarus coming out of the grave, Lord, that these would just begin to feel those grave clothes unwrapping off of them right now, Lord. I unwrap them. I unwrap them. May they be loosed. May they be loose, Lord. You have called them forth out of this bondage of offense. May they be loose from that in the name of Jesus. 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 Move, Lord. Move, Lord Jesus. Make the way. May the bulldozer just come through and clear the way for your sweet Holy Spirit to come in and begin to heal and allow a release of the Spirit to come into that place in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive them, Lord. They didn't see how it was hurting you. They didn't want to violate your heart. But they see now. Forgive them, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.